I didn't mention this on the air, and I should have in the opener. Mike Vrabel was on the sidelines with a headset on yesterday. So I hope, I'm serious about this. Like, if you were, like last week I said he's getting a front row seat to whatever dysfunction that they have. And I hope that if this is going to go where I think it's going to go, where I'm resigned to the thought it is where it's going to be house cleaning at the end of the year, that you go to Mike Vrabel and offer him all the power. Give him all the power. I think he's a proven head coach. Give him the power and say, you've been on the sidelines now, which his role has grown more and more. So either, one, they're putting him there and it's against maybe Stefanski's wishes, which I don't believe is true, or two, Kevin Stefanski trusts him that much. All right, well, this is going to be the way it goes, is that, you know, Kevin Stefanski's a big boy. He knows how this is going to go. They're going to clean house at the end of this year. And he is going to be made as maybe some sort of a scapegoat, but this is where you have to look at Mike Vrabel and go, you've been able to take your mental notes, or probably real notes, on all these guys. They're in your hands now. And you get your own general manager, and you get your own support staff. Rasputin over in San Diego is gone, and you've seen them all. Now you can decide who the real football players are. Because this season is going to end to a point where nobody should be safe. I don't know if there's another win on the schedule. I don't think there is. They could be 2-15. I don't know if there's another win on this schedule.
I think that is looking more and more likely.
Yeah.
Like, so, whatever the odds are. Mitch, see if you can find out what the odds are. All these other radio shows do gambling odds, and we don't really touch a lot of that. What the odds, what it would pay out if you were to bet against the Browns every game from here on out?
Has to be good.
Just that they're going to lose every game. No point spreads or anything like that. Just that they are flat out going to lose out.
Because has to be good.
I think that is the most likely conclusion at this point, right?
Yeah.
What games, especially after what you saw in the fourth quarter, after what you heard from the guys after the game, and what it's going to be like from here on out. I mean, yesterday I texted some people that were at the game. Yeah, well, I'll just say I texted Zach Jackson yesterday. I said, is Nick Chubb on a pitch count? Like, he just sat out an entire quarter yesterday, and he was standing on the sidelines in his helmet, with his helmet on, and never came into the game.
Had 11 carries, 50 yards.
In that quarter, and he actually
looked good.
He had some good runs.
Yeah.
He had some good, I know that fourth down run, he kind of ran right into the offensive line. But outside of that, I thought, oh, okay, Nick's got little Nick Chubb back, and then he was grounded.
Well, that's still man
on
man.
And I'm what is that?
That's still man on man. You got to get a push. That's still man on man. I wasn't blaming him on that.
No, but I'm saying is why was it that he just sat out an entire quarter?
I don't know, Anthony.
Like, doesn't
maybe
he have
on a pitch count.
Doesn't he have incentives he needs to hit?
I'm not sure. It's a Ken Dorsey offense. Keith had sent us some stats before the show. They're even more depressing than you could even imagine about what the Ken Dorsey offense looks like with the Browns so far. And not all of it's obviously on Ken Dorsey. Here it is. Browns, $190 million offense. You ready? $191 million. That extra million counts. Second worst offense in the league, averaging 16.2 points a game. Bills, third highest scoring offense, 29.1 points a game last season in 9 games after firing Dorsey. Bills averaged 27.1 points a game. Oh, he writes, by the way, the Browns have played 7 of the worst 13 scoring defenses in the NFL. They're one of them, so really 12 others.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Some people are giving me a hard time about, because Jerry Jeudy, finally, a run after the catch, finally, a huge, huge, big-time playmaking situation from a wide receiver, yeah. And it was Jerry Jeudy, and I kind of just beat me being me and just, you know, kind of fed up with the Browns, but that was a fun play, and I go, well, it's a count if it's against a Joe Woods defense, and I'm like, Joe Woods will make everybody look good, and yesterday, Jameis had almost 400 yards, if they only had 14 points, I kept looking at the scoreboard going, how do we only have this many points?
And no turnovers.
No turnovers. Jameis, they wasted a perfectly good Jameis Winston game.
Two false starts.
By the way, I promised I'd talk Cavs. Do the Browns' dysfunction make you feel better about the Cavs?
Yes.
Do they make you more excited about the Cavs?
100%. This has been the easiest transition ever to make from one sport to the next.
You and I know a couple of Cavs fans, and they balk at that conversation because they're basketball first people, and they say you should. No. I think everybody shares, yes, it's a football area. Yes, the Browns, because they play football, would predominantly be the organization that people care about the most. However, if you're a big-time basketball fan or a baseball fan, you hate hearing that, but you probably know the truth. You can look at one season. Usually it's the Guardians doing so well at the end of the year, and then it's like, all right, here we go. The rest of the season's Browns season. This is a 15-0 start. And Donovan Mitchell, which I didn't even know this until yesterday, Kenny Atkinson had planned to sit Donovan Mitchell for a month leading up to this. Like, this was going to be the day that he was going to rest, quote-unquote, Donovan Mitchell was yesterday. And you were a 10-point favorite in that game against Charlotte. And Charlotte's a team that struggles. I understand that. But to go out there without Donovan Mitchell and to play well, I thought that they played well. I thought they controlled things. I thought Evan Mobley did a good job. I mean, I could say all the platitudes I want. Ty Jerome.
What a revelation.
Now that he's actually on the floor and not on the golf course, thank God.
This was worth.
He's been great.
Can't you say this was worth
him? He's been great.
Basically skipping an entire season.
Maybe, yeah.
And
yeah.
Even though none of us were clued in on it, the team wasn't really honest about it. And the next thing you know, I don't even know if maybe he wasn't honest about it. But maybe it just didn't go well. Maybe it's just one of these injuries just didn't go well for whatever reason. And it's been worth it because he's come back. And I'm telling you, Darius, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then there is no drop-off when they go with Ty Jerome.
He was one of the names that I was like, he wasn't playing. And then I saw him playing golf. I'm going, well, what are we doing here? Like, he was one of the arguments that I made about Kobe Altman. But when you have him back, I think, and this is early in the season, folks, he may be, if you have him healthy, he may be a predominant reason why you're so apt to, we don't need to go trading for these mercurial figures here just because they fill a quote-unquote void. If you have a guy like Ty Jerome back, and especially if you have him with a Dean Wade, you can stretch things out a little bit better. Now, things are going to change as the season goes on. You'll be bringing back Max Strus from injury. That's going to change things, but Ty Jerome has been worth his weight in gold so far this season. But I was just buoyed by that thought of, man, you're at home. You definitely, because there's times where in an NBA game you go, well, yeah, so-and-so sits, and it should give a better chance, but that's not how it goes. And I was prepared for the Charlotte Hornets to come out, try hard, and get a win yesterday. And I was so pleasantly, no, I can't say surprised. I was just so pleasantly relieved, elated because of what had happened earlier in the day. I was so much happier that the Cavaliers won, and I was so much happier that the Cavaliers looked good doing it.
And it would have sucked if their streak ended, and it's just, oh yeah, Donovan Mitchell didn't play. This was a planned absence. That kind of would have sucked. It would have been like, oh, we're kind of chasing something special here, and yet this is the team that overachieves. We've started the show with a team that underachieves and has underachieved a lot of times in our life. This is a Cavs team that is overachieving. We knew they'd win a lot of regular season games. This is beyond what anybody thought was possible. This is awesome.
They're going to approach 60, and they might
be easily.
They might approach the 66 number. I don't know. That's a high number. I know what happened at the end of the year, but they might approach that. I mean, that's how good it is to start things off. In fact, they're so perfect, they've left us arguing about clocks, and that's coming up at 7:20.